This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Dolan Show. You're listening to part two of our January 23rd podcast.
Oh, I like that. That's my kind of music.
That Jimmy take over.
Yeah, let's let this one roll for a little while. Yeah. We can always.
Yeah, we can edit it out.
Yeah.
Jack who goes home, never to know what the mix is like.
Completely different show.
He doesn't know we really do it. Jack Rhodes show.
A few seconds, we're gonna violate ASCAP.
I'm a blue child. Lord knows I'm a blue child. Yeah.
Jimmy Doan.
Jimmy. Another great Jimmy.
Another great Jimmy. Jimi Hendrix from Jimmy Doan.
It doesn't get any better than that. Big influence, man. Hey, Kyle. Go out and pick up a little Jimmy Hendrix, baby. Just Monterey. Yeah, live in Monterey. That's
live in Monterey, yeah, that's a good one.
And if you can't enjoy that one, you don't get it.
Oh, I hear it, Jimmy.
All righty, man.
Okay.
So.
Okay, moving right along.
Welcome back to the Jimmy Dolan Show.
We have a Chavez update.
We do.
Yeah, we're moving down to South America.
Hey, Chavez.
We have a Chavez update.
Yeah, there we go, baby.
Hugo Chavez. Hugo Chavez.
One of our favorite guys. Yeah. You know, it's gonna. Yeah, that's it. You don't have to do much more than read the headline of this. Chavez threatens to take over farms, milk plants, if owners refuse to sell locally. I mean, pretty much says President Hugo Chavez.
But why?
Yeah, hard to believe. Hard to believe. We're talking milk here, folks.
we're talking complete control.
All right, Jimmy, why don't you explain what happened?
We have assumed control.
President Hugo Chavez threatened on Sunday to take over farms or milk plants if owners refuse to sell their milk for domestic consumption. And why instead seek higher profits abroad or from cheesemakers. With the country recently facing milk shortages, Chavez says it's treason if farmers deny milk to Venezuelans while selling it across the border in Colombia or for gourmet cheeses.
Nice accent, Jimmy.
That's right.
And it was pretty.
In that case, the farm must be expropriated. Chavez said, adding the government would also take over milk plants and properties of beef producers. I'm putting you on alert. I'm putting you on alert, Chavez says. If there's a producer that refuses to sell the product and sells it at a higher price abroad, ministers, find me proof so that it can be expropriated.
Okay, well, what the hell's expropriated?
Addressing his cabinet, he said, if the army must be brought in, you bring in the army. I mean, this is...
This is Sieg freaking Heil.
This is socialism at its best.
Absolutely.
I mean, one of the things that I thought was interesting...
Hugo.
No, I mean, it's phenomenal because there was...
bring in the Bolsheviks and...
And bring in the army. I mean, they're going to shoot people, for God's sakes. It's like they did in Rwanda or Rhodesia or whatever it is when they... You know, they came in and they killed all the farmers and took over their land. And, of course, the government now is going to be in the milk-producing business. And how long do you think that'll last?
Well, they're good milk producers.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because they're cows.
Well, the cows probably have it one up on the bureaucrats. But, yeah. Anyway, the deal is that this is what happens. It has been proven with mathematical precision of a geometric proof that once you start Ludwig von Mises did this like, you know, 60, 70 years ago. Once you control one thing in an economy, you have to end up controlling it all. And one of the things that is interesting here in the United States, even, people don't realize our milk price controls in the United States. Do you know that there are something like 30,000 rules that govern milk prices in the United States?
It's over $5 a gallon, if you haven't checked.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. It's gone. It's doubled in the last year. And a lot of it has to do because the corn now is going to ethanol instead of the cows and so forth. The other thing is that if the price, Gaylord Nelson, one of my anti-heroes from Wisconsin.
Anybody named Gaylord.
Yeah. Well, he's
all you need to know.
That's right. His feet are wide apart and tapping. So anyway, so the deal is that the price of milk, believe it or not, in many places in the United States, is governed by how far your farm or your store is from Racine, Wisconsin, or something like that.
I thought that was cheese. Or they do both milk.
No, it's milk. It's milk. Okay. Cheese is a little different, and that's one of the problems. Is you can take some of that milk and you
Who
can actually
the hell
make cheese.
That? Freaking long.
And then you can like smuggle it stuff. I mean, milk, you know, doesn't last all that long unless it's Parmalat or something. But cheese, you know,
little plug there. They're a sponsor.
Yeah,
right. Oh, well, Borden's makes the same stuff. Anyways, that milk that sits on the shelf for 6 months. But my point is that if he thinks for 2 seconds, that's going to make a damn bit of difference. It's a joke. And he's already said, I'm going to bring in the army. That means bullets will fly for the price of milk. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, milk is like, if you just get out of the way, people will produce
it
the crap out of milk.
It shows up at the door.
So you think Hugo
says... Yeah, no, exactly. No, literally it shows up at the door. Literally. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, we had the milkman. He showed up more often than the postman and delivered
especially
milk.
Especially at Jimmy's house.
Well,
the milkman was
postman, unfortunately, yeah.
Oh, the postman, too.
The postman, too, yeah.
Hence, we have Jimmy.
That's right. Yeah, Jimmy doesn't know exactly. We do need to do a little DNA checking.
It's a little milky white over there.
Okay, you have gone over the top. You've crossed the line on that one.
The milky white? Right.
Okay, so yeah. So anyway, the point is that it was so funny about it.
It's that white haze right before death? Is that what you're saying?
No. I have no idea.
No. Okay. About like my leg.
Edit.
I have no. We have gone totally off into surreal Dolly Land.
What noise. Here at the Jimmy Doan Show?
Yeah, right.
Off kilter.
So anyway, the deal is that I've always said before, bullets or ballots. I have said that bullets will fly before the ballots are counted or finished being counted or whatever it is.
Nice and bumper sticker.
There. Whatever. Yeah, bullets or ballots. Right. I have a ballot for bullets. Okay. So.
And I like that bumper sticker that says, I'm voting for Monica Lewinsky's ex-boyfriend's wife.
Yeah, that's real bumper sticker going on?
We got a picture of it. Yeah, that's great.
Monica Lewinsky's ex-boyfriend's wife. For president.
Yeah.
08, you know. That's great.
No, it was definitely there. So anyway, the deal is that in this article, and I don't have the entire article in front of me, but the idea is that I lost my train of thought. That they are going to send in the army if you don't sell your milk at the right price. I mean, this is what price controls always do.
It's interesting that they're at milk at this point. You know,
really, it's not like it's caviar or diamonds or anything.
Well, it's
an essential item that anybody would produce. It's not that hard to produce, and they would do it except for price control.
Yeah, it's complete control. It's complete control.
Of course it is. But
now next week it's going to be something else.
Well, right. And that's what we're talking about. But I thought it's interesting that he's at the point where it's milk. That is to say, I would think if I was going to take over a country, I would start with the military. And then once you get that, then I guess you would do...
all the big business, all the large...
Right. Yeah, like the oil, which he's done. Right.
And the
right.
banks.
And the banks. All that's right. He's
working down the food chain, okay. Literally. And so, now he's at milk.
Well, I mean, and that's pretty far down, I would think. Or maybe that's a staple, and it's pretty far up.
And next is bread.
No,
and then you're pretty much done. I mean, once you get past bread and, you know, cornmeal or whatever, then you've got complete control.
Water.
Hey, don't laugh. Exactly.
No,
I'm just guessing. You're not
laughing.
I think he's already got it. This shows where he is. If he's to milk, he's already got all the other ones.
And in fact, he's at the milk where he says, I'm going to send in the army.
Yeah.
I mean, not the police, well, not the local sheriff. I'm going to send in the army and expropriate your farm if you have the gall to sell your milk for cheese.
That sounds like the land grab to me.
You think?
Well, I mean, not it's not just milk, but I would think, like you said, the next thing has got to be all of the land. I mean, I know.
Well, next it's going to be rice or wheat or something like wheat, you know, for bread and so forth. Yeah, no. We're waiting.
See,
anyway, that's why this is
land.
That's why this is called an update. And we will have more of those.
Oh, it's just amazing. It's people
amazing.
Not see this. No one in America is talking about this.
No,
these are all AP writers. We're getting this crap from. It's not like it's, you know, New York.
It's not like it's a secret thing, but Jimmy is so far ahead of the curve on this.
Jimmy always ahead of the curve.
Another article from today's paper in a town here down south here called Weston, Florida, which is down near Miami. The rise of Chavez sends Venezuelans to Florida.
Okay,
flew to Florida. Let me tell you, in December 2002, this fellow, then an owner of a furniture business in Caracas, Venezuela, was on vacation in New York. Now, this is 5 years ago, with his family, when opponents of President Hugo Chavez, they called a crippling labor strike, hoping to bring the government to its knees. That was this thing where the United States got in on the wrong side of this thing. As the protests wore on, paralyzing the country's oil industry and devastating the economy, the so-and-so saw a very uncertain future for Venezuela and arrived at a painful decision. They would be better off staying in the United States. They flew to Florida and rented a house here in Weston, a suburb west of Fort Lauderdale that has become so popular with Venezuelan immigrants, it is known as Westonzuela. I love it. No, woo! But the point is this, and I can't pronounce their name, Dunas Vichys are part of a wave of Venezuelans, mostly from middle and upper classes, who have fled to the United States as Mr. Chavez has tightened his grip on the country's political institutions, imposing his socialist vision and threatening to assert greater state control over many parts of the economy, obviously including the milk. For many Venezuelans have been able to transfer some of their wealth as they settle in America. For 2 years, this fellow flew to Caracas every few months carrying empty suitcases, which he filled with the family's essential belongings and carted them back to Miami. I mean, for 2 years, he went. I mean, think about it. He must have made like 24 trips or a dozen trips. With empty suitcases, that's the way you had to get it out of the country. And if you think that's not going to happen here, you're out of your mind. It already is, as I said. If you try and take a lousy $10,000 out of this country, you have to fill out a piece of paper. And if you don't, the fine is whatever you have to have.
Right.
whatever you got over
$10,000. But here's what's interesting. We are talking about the people that have made it, the investors, the workers. Yeah,
I Googled it. Westonzuela.
Westonzuela.
It's there. It's great.
The principal reason for fear is fear of change of daily life, the loss of private property, loss of independence from the government, fear and loss of constitutional rights and individual liberties, said Mr. So-and-so, who relocated permanently from Venezuela in 1996 and runs Venezuela Al Día, a thrice-monthly tabloid with offices near Miami. And
Not anymore.
He does. And so anyway, the point is that this community has exploded in population, and I mean it's like little Venezuela down there. And it's, as I say, it's all the middle and upper class people, which are the ones that do the investing, do the real business, the smart ones. And who's left are the Mezclato Indians or whatever it is that and the oil, I guess. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but the point is he's destroying the country, and the smart people, even the middle classes, are hoofing it out of there. Duh! That should tell you something. And here's a guy who actually, in order to get out 2 years ago, realized that he couldn't just pack up and leave. I mean, this tells you something. He couldn't just say, I think I'll leave and hire a, you know, Mayflower moving van and put all his crap on a boat and move to the United States. No! He had to sneak it out two suitcases at a time. I mean, that's sad. I mean,
it's hard to put your boat in two suitcases.
Well, I mean, he obviously had to leave a lot of stuff there. One of the fellows that had a furniture business started one up here. And, I mean, that's what he did. I remember I was living when Ms. Jimmy and I first got married. We were living down in Pompano Beach when the first Cuban invasion started.
No, those were Spaniards. They came over on the.
We'd never seen a horse before. So that was a new experience for us. Well, when Vasco da Gama, or whoever, Cortez, or whoever the hell
your
was,
leader,
tromped across from St. Augustine, you know, that's where Jimmy learned his Spanish, man. He said, hey, lo siento, hey, I'm speaking this Spanish, man. So anyway, this tells you in two things here, what's going to happen down there, and bullets, it won't be long before the bullets fly.
All the bullets are flying.
That's right. Okay.
Hugo is going to take over. Can I get the music one more time? Ale, ale. Yeah. Hugo. I'm going to kill you.
That's right.
You don't like me? Oh. I'm going to kill you.
Well, it's called population control. Big deal. I mean, it's you know, he's a starve him or kill him. Big deal.
You talking to me?
Yeah. Well, I want to see my little friend here.
Yeah.
Next item on the list, California's hydrogen highway teeters towards collapse. You know, Arnold, I love Arnold to death, but he decided he wanted to put up hydrogen filling stations all up and down California. Well, it turns out that in order for the environment.
Right.
We're talking earlier about the environment, and this is the kind of thing that happens. It's the whole thing's collapsed. They can't do it. Sorry, ain't going to happen. You could pass all the laws in the world, do all the incentives, the whole deal, put up hydrogen stations all over the place, and everybody says, screw it. You know, ain't going to happen.
Hasta la vista.
Hasta la vista, hydrogen.
Well, of course, the new Chevy ads are saying that their new Silverado is a vegetarian because it uses E85.
You're Chevy, man.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You're Chevy, man. Chevy with the corn, man.
Yeah, that's right. Well, who was that guy that went across the country on McDonald's grease or something from the fried potatoes or whatever?
Well, there was a show.
A lot of people done it. Yeah, I've seen the show late night, right? It's
They roll it all the time on Discovery Science, you know, some kind of one of those green shows.
Hippie dude cruising across the country.
Yeah, hippie dude. Well,
in a van and a diesel that you will also run on the vegetable oil. So
right.
They hop from restaurant to restaurant, you know, picking up that. But it does run on gas, too. So.
Well, that's interesting because people just get out of the way, the market will figure it out. I saw an article, for instance, somebody's invented some kind of a new engine. You know, there's the Stirling engine, the heat engines, and all this other stuff. But if you just get out of the way, what people don't realize to what extent the internal combustion engine is subsidized. I mean, phenomenal subsidy. I was driving down in South Florida. I'm on 995, which is about half the width of Florida. And it was bumper to bumper. I mean, I was stopped in rush hour traffic on something where the width of the road is about at the length of the roads up here in Alachua County. I mean, it's like it was a sea of cars, and they're just
wide.
Yeah, I mean, it was wide, definitely wide. That's one lane, and so the deal is that if you can pave the place over, it ain't gonna make any difference. I mean, the market's gonna figure it out eventually, and on all this stuff. And it is stunning to me how smart these people think they are, that they can fool the market. Well, it's not nice to fool them.
This guy Johnson, who invented the Super Soaker. He's coming out. He's inventing a new solar cell that he thinks can top 60% efficiency.
That was the one.
Yeah.
That was what I was just talking about. Only I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. That guy is really a genius.
Yeah. He's pretty neat.
He could have put that Bender thing together too.
Yeah. He could have
the Bender Brewer.
Simon over in New Zealand. I'll link to his site. He's got some really. I ripped off his design for the Jacob's ladder that I built. He's got an R2. He goes, oh, excuse the unfinished R2-D2 in the background. Like, looks totally cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's just, it looks like real.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it's just.
Oh, yeah.
And not only that, I think it works because, you know, the original one had to have Kenny what's his face in it. His is like got motors and crap.
Right. Right. Well, they had like 23 or 30 R2-D2s at the Star Wars convention.
What, they're going to have an R2-D2 convention pretty soon. They're all going to get together. You know, just it's called the Autonomous R2-D2 Convention.
The last R2 walks in and locks the door. It keeps the humans out until they're done.
Well, and what do they do, reproduce? They build some more? They'd be coming out of like the... like the Godzilla eggs.
Right.
Absolutely.
So anyway, yeah, that's, I look at that, when I looked at that guy who did the R2, or did the Bender thing, it reminded me a little bit of what we've talked about before, the gum wrapper theory of life, and that is you can read a gum wrapper and divine the secrets of the universe. And here's a guy who seemingly is wasting his time.
Some people can read War and Peace and come away thinking it's a simple adventure story. Others can read the ingredients on a chewing gum wrapper and unlock the secrets of the universe.
Yes! 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 Oh, my hero. That guy is my hero. That is it.
He delivers it, too.
Oh, my God. I mean, just if you if you only see the movie for that line,
so right. Tell us what movie it is.
Superman.
The original.
I know, I'm just
That's Lex
yeah.
Luthor. Yeah. That was Gene Hackman. Oh my God, what a beautiful line. Anyway, when you look at something like what the Bender Brewer guy does or the Whammo guy does, mm-hmm. for instance, and it looks like they're dorking around, fooling around, but I mean, this is where the real genius stuff comes from, and you don't know. It reminds me when I first got my Apple II, nobody knew on the Apple IIe or the Apple II Plus even. It came with like 6 slots. And nobody had a clue. In fact, the engineering electronics for it people had to like discover it on their own. And you talk about the geeks today. This I'm talking real geek people.
Jimmy, you're a digression machine over there. I mean,
no, wait, where I was talking about the
yeah, exactly
something.
No, this is the gum wrapper thing. I mean, it's the genius.
Where did that come from?
In the market.
The market will decide.
Well, it's when you're like Hugo Chavez and you force all the smart people out of your country. What are you left with? People that aren't going to do these things.
Right, exactly. And no, they're afraid to.
Right.
I mean, and the simple fact is, even if they were smart enough,
right.
they would sit there and say, well, if I do anything, let's say I come up with a new way to make milk or something like that, they're just going to take it from me.
Right.
So why bother?
I
will live at a subsistence level.
Right.
And
that
they are all going to sit there and live at a subsistence level, except he's still got, he's got the oil. That will make this thing go a lot longer than it would ordinarily.
Mm-hmm. I like how Eric pulled us back into the Hugo thing.
Yeah, how about that?
You know, I want to throw this digression in. I was watching this movie, The Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Oh, famous.
But I had no idea. I have to plead ignorance here. I didn't realize it. And then I'm sitting there and I have no idea. I just saw it was old. I saw it was Humphrey Bogart.
Right.
And, you know, 11:30. I'm like, yeah, let me watch a little. I ended up watching an hour and a half of it. Couldn't get away from it. And sure enough, badges? Sticking badges?
You did not know.
Put it together. I knew the clip.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know it. And it just...
We don't need no stinking badges.
You finally saw the movie. You saw it in context.
Oh, it was great.
Oh, my God. Well, now that...
That's funny.
So now do you have a new appreciation?
Oh, absolutely.
It's incredible.
Absolutely. No, I mean, I knew the clip, but I also associated the clip with Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And also Blazing Saddles.
And Blazing Saddles, which has been showing nonstop here recently.
Right.
So I didn't realize, you know, it was a copy. Like many things.
I did want to mention one more thing about this Lonnie Johnson thing, the guy we were talking about who invented the Super Soaker and is also working on these solar cells. You know, he worked for JPL. And basically what happened, his toy profits has funded his research in advanced battery technology, specifically thin film lithium ion conductive membranes. And, that basically, sparked his whole idea for this new engine that he's working on. So again, back to the whole thing, you're letting the market decide. This guy, you know, he wants to make money off this solar stuff too. And he's reinvesting in technologies that are basically probably maybe one day solve whatever the Enviro freaks, you know, problem with the gasoline engine. And so, in other words, just let them go.
Right.
Let them do with it. Get out the way.
Exactly.
And the technology will solve itself.
And people don't believe. He's like an Edison. You know, people
He really is.
Somebody once told me, it's been years now, somebody said, well, we'll never have another one man inventing. It's all done by corporations. It's all done. That's BS. I mean, here's a guy, perfect example of a guy who's a little bit genius, and this is where this stuff comes from. And I think somebody I was reading in there where his efficiency is approaching like 60% or something.
Right.
I mean, it's unbelievable. You don't understand. This was like literally in my lifetime, and I'm not talking about Stone Age here. I'm talking about after the sun was invented.
After you were 30.
the fact is that 2 and 3% was a good deal.
A good deal.
Right. And here we are.
And he's shipping from 30 to 60 in like a couple of years.
In a couple of decades. Right. I mean, seriously speaking, folks, this is this is one man operation.
And he's using conductive membranes. I mean, if he were to use semiconducting membranes, maybe he'd have a little more success. I ought to write a paper on that.
How about double conducting?
What I'm going to do is
double secret.
I'll link to his article in case anybody wants to read it in depth.
I love those links.
Little science update, man. Science update.
I got a great movie list going here.
Do you? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna move on now to some of the silly things, I guess, in a way. New York has gone just completely batty.
What do you mean?
I mean, this is, no, they understand California. You know, we know California, but New York, come on.
Come on,
City revives
been
the push for calorie disclosure by area fast food restaurants.
Well, wait, let me. Are we talking Manhattan or are we talking all of New York, upstate, everything?
We're talking about the City Board of Health. This is Manhattan.
Manhattan.
Yes, okay. It's New York City.
Well, okay.
City Board of Health poised to reenact today a bitterly contested rule requiring restaurants to post calorie contents of each dish on their menus. The proposed regulation, part of Mayor Bloomberg's campaign to reduce obesity and diabetes, would make eateries with 15 or more outposts around the country prominently display calorie counts before patrons order. City health officials expect the regulation will result in 150,000 fewer New Yorkers becoming obese over the next 5 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, wait a minute. 150,000 fewer New Yorkers. This is over the next 5 years. Now, this is out of like 10 million.
Statistics.
We're talking rounding error. Yeah, right.
They never lie, man.
That's right. Liars figure and figures lie. Okay. And prevent at least 30,000 cases of diabetes. The more fast food people eat, the more likely they are to become obese, says Health Commissioner Thomas Friedman. Some people may choose to ignore the calorie information, and that's totally fine. But other people... And you know,
for now.
Yeah.
For now.
But I love
trust me, man.
Yeah, right. No question.
They're going to make you eat what they want.
So when...
Well, and I like it. He said, it says the big chain. So if you have 15 or more stores around the country, you require...
Everybody's
going to
have 14.
But like... Why is it that those particular restaurants are worse? I mean,
right.
So you've got 10.
Right.
And they're called
You're benevolent.
Lard ass hamburger stand. And you know, and you don't have to do anything. I mean, like you wouldn't know. The Restaurant Association they're getting ready to sue again. He expects the provision to pass. It's interesting because the version would impact, it says here, 10% of the 23,000 eateries, which means that 90% of them still can serve, you know, whale blubber and not tell you anything about it. Deep fried whale blubber. That's
right.
You know, what is it? Deep fried Snickers bars.
Nice.
You know, it doesn't take a PhD in nutrition, let alone a high school diploma, to tell the difference between a 12-piece bucket of chicken and a salad. I mean, this is... But when restaurants post the information...
Well, then why do they need the damn information?
Well, that's the whole point.
Well, exactly.
They'll make healthier options available, so I don't think we'll be seeing 2,700-calorie appetizers or 1,400-calorie breakfasts. This is one of the...
The exceptions to the printing. If it's on your appetizer menu, you don't have to print the content.
Well, no, but so you put an appetizer and it says, you know, 14,000 calories. I mean, so what? So, I mean, but let me tell you, one of the things that they did find when a lot of the low-cal foods came out, they found that in restaurants, the calorie content of what people ate went way up. And the reason was they were rewarding themselves for being on a diet during the week. And they felt it was just fine to go out and have a one-pounder hamburger along with a bucket of French fries per person.
And a Diet Coke.
And a Diet Coke to top it off. That's
well,
right.
This is absolutely ridiculous.
Of course it is. It is beyond the nanny state. I mean, this is beyond the nanny state. But this is where it's all happening. And he's going to get it passed. They're going to do it. They're going to have the obesity police, the calorie police out there inspecting 2,300 restaurants to make sure that they have published the exact calorie count for a meal. I mean, this is, it's beyond belief. I mean,
well, and the calories are worthless. I mean, they haven't, I don't even think that there's any proof that the amount of calories you're intaking really has the impact. I mean, eat good food, make good choices, but.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. Let me put it this way. If your restaurant happens to be located at a 47-story walk-up, you can afford to have a 5,000 calorie.
even Survivor Man.
You'll get calorie credits. We're going to set this whole thing up.
Perfect.
And you can purchase calorie credits.
That's what you can do. You can go work out.
Right.
And what will happen is when you're on the treadmill,
it'll tell your microchip.
It'll tell your little ATM card. It charges it up.
It'll tell your microchip automatically.
And it goes
it'll be like an RFID thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that'll mean that when these prisoners get chips, that's the first thing they'll put on there is an obesity counter.
And when you walk into the restaurant will know because it'll read you as soon as you come in.
Right. And how many calorie credits would you like to use?
I'm sorry, sir.
And also, see,
you could order from pages 1,
yeah, exactly.
2, and 4.
Right. You could order from this menu. You don't have enough money for this menu, so we give you the...
And you got enough money. you're just not on the list.
That's right, you're not on the list. Or what would happen is, as you walk towards the restaurant, there's like, when you go through the toll gates, there's a little bridge, a little thing that comes down in front of you.
Absolutely.
And as you approach it, it either goes up or it doesn't.
Right.
And so, you know,
Or it whacks you.
That's right. Well, of course,
shocks the shit out of you.
Well, this is where Jimmy has got, you know, you've heard that old joke. This is where Jimmy's Diet Center opens up, which is staffed with ex-Playboy models, just barely ex-Playboy models, who can run real fast. And so, you know, if you can catch them, which you can't, of course. And, you know, you'll run 5 miles easy before you collapse. And that'll be worth maybe a Whopper.
Right.
So to speak. So anyway, no, this is good stuff. This is Jimmy's new weight loss program, Chase After the Chick. Yeah. Chasing Chicks.
New York is a hellhole.
Hey, I see this other room here about New York and its restrooms, right?
No, let me tell you, it's even better than this. The headline on this is a toilet that uses 14 gallons. Now, you understand.
Wait, it's a public restroom?
Yes.
A public
restroom?
It
costs a quarter, too.
In New York City?
No. What?
Wait,
it is a public.
14 gallons, you read that wrong. 1.4 gallons.
No, 14.
No, there's no way.
Yes, 14 gallons. This is the new public restroom. Now, let me tell you.
What is it, an enema included?
Is it the shower included?
No, let me just tell you. I want to tell you a little bit of the history. Here's another
whether
book.
Whether you want it or not.
If you want to read a book, it was written, I think, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. It's called The Death of Common Sense. And I forget the guy's name.
Isn't that Payne?
No, it's not Payne.
No,
Philip somebody. Philip K. Howard, I think, wrote it. It's called The Death of Common Sense.
We'll find out here in a second.
And anyway, his example was about the New York City public toilets. Now, as you know, at least Dimina remembers the old days when Paris used to have pissoirs.
Philip K. Howard.
Yeah, Philip K. Howard, right. Were you over there, Jack, when they still had pissoirs in Paris?
What's that?
Pissoirs, the circular things where guy could go in and take a leak.
Oh, a pissoir. Oh, yeah, sure.
But, you know, they're all gone now. I mean,
right.
Okay.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, you
public
know,
toilets, public just.
Well, I mean, no, but I mean, no,
pop.
I'm not talking about the ones down in the subways and the metro. I'm talking about the ones, the little circular things that literally shielded you from nothing that a guy could walk in and just right there on the street and do.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
They were like two pieces of round pieces that were like intersected, and you'd walk into the circle part, and all it would show was your feet, you know, that kind of thing, and you could take a leak.
You know, and it never caught on with the women.
No, not only that.
So
listen to me. Wait a minute. And let me tell you, they were rather odiferous when you went past each one, and they were like on every
in Japan, they don't even bother rounding the corner.
Is that right?
And just put it out there.
Yeah,
man.
Okay.
Wait,
so anyway.
Hold on. I'm still looking up odiferous.
So anyway, the deal is that they wanted to have public restrooms in New York City on the sidewalks. Now, it turns out that because of the ADA, the American Disabilities Act, and so forth, they needed to make sure they were accessible. No matter what your infirmity was, if you were like a thalidomide baby with no arms or legs, you still had to be able to get into this thing and use it. And
I'm getting into the toilet now.
Right. And
done.
Odiferous is morally offensive. Which one?
Okay. Good. Okay. So let me just continue here.
Okay.
One of the problems they had in New York City was when they took off the street side, if they ever had them, the street quarter machines that you could put a quarter in and go to the bathroom, was that people, of course, started walking into the stores. You know, they go into Tiffany's, say, can I use your restroom? And
right, absolutely.
That kind of stuff. So anyway, what we're going to do is we don't want the pissoirs like they had in Paris, but we want something that's a little more congenial. Well, the little problem they had was, as soon as they put them out there, people would go in there and, you know, like not come out for an hour. Or something. People would be, you know, like couples would go in there that weren't exactly related. And so forth. So anyway, now what they did is they have a deal where the door automatically opens in 15 minutes, whether you like it or not, because homeless people are going in there sleeping and stuff like that.
Right.
So now the door automatically opens after 15 minutes. Now, the question is, how does it use 14 gallons? Well, here's the deal. The flush is your 1.29 gallons. That's right. Basin auto cleaning is 1.2 gallons. The toilet auto cleaner is 3.85 gallons. And then they have to clean the floor, which is 7.5 gallons. So 14 gallons. Every time it gets used, it uses 14 gallons. Now, you understand that in your own home, It is a SWAT team offense. That is, they send around and they will blow your house up and take you away and throw you in jail forever. So you get to use a chrome plated toilet in front of the guard that only does one flush.
Here's another, if you have more than a 1 gallon flush toilet.
If you have a more than 1 gallon flush toilet.
And there's a lot of people who like the low flush toilet, want that mandated, which is like a quarter of a gallon or something.
Well, not only that, of course, the early ones. And actually, Jimmy knows about this because here, Jimmy got some of the early ones in this house, and it takes about 9 flushes to get rid of anything. So you end up burning up, you know, 10, 15
gallons. Just as much.
Just as much, yeah. I'm a firm believer if it's yellow, let it mellow. Weyless Brown to flush it down.
Yeah,
or
well, Jimmy, Jimmy's still catching up. But here's an article that says it uses 25 gallons a visit.
Okay, but my point is that Philip K. Howard talked about this in his book 8-10 years ago about how this was an unmitigated disaster, and this is what happens. As I've said so many times, a camel is a horse designed by a committee. If this were only a camel, it might not be, but this is an alien being. It is apparently
flying spaghetti monster.
Oh, got it's unbelievable. Well, here's the deal. The problem, another problem they had in New York City was the sidewalks were narrow, and that if in order to put one of these things there, I mean, this thing was like a small house, and it was taking up the whole. So you couldn't do that. So you had certain constraints. Well, apparently, at least in some places, you can now find this, and it's only a quarter. And the reason it allows you 15 minutes
cost
is in case you're
$5 to use or something.
Oh, I mean, no. It tells in here. As a matter of fact, it does. I mean, they're like $100,000 or $200,000 each.
Well, I'm just
how
saying,
much does it cost? It's got it just takes a quarter, right?
Yeah, but they're subsidized, obviously.
Yeah, the rent on that place is $100 an hour,
right?
You know,
yeah,
I mean, the rent on the land
square, you know,
in
10
Manhattan,
feet,
right.
Exactly is worth just a huge amount of. I mean,
yeah, the same.
That one vendor sit there,
spot.
You know.
No question. One
well, they're trying
spot,
to get waterless urinals, and aren't normal urinals waterless? A city room its correspondent wondered, having never used one.
What?
Never mind.
I knew they were sheltered, but I mean, has he never been out of the house?
No, but that's the same thing that, you know, never having seen Bush go through and never saw a scanner or something like that. Didn't know what so anyway, no, the deal is, though, that this is a typical example of something. 14 gallons, 25 cents. Obviously, it is the most ineffective. And only rich countries can do this. Can you imagine going to Rwanda or someplace like that and saying, here's a toilet. And they, you know, this is the super high tech. It cleans
get all their water.
No, you
there.
Do understand that after the
that would be their well.
Exactly.
No, I mean,
man,
they would wish for it.
Right. They would appreciate it.
They'd open the door and they would pry it open.
It wouldn't
and,
last.
And the line would start and just come
no,
on
well,
in.
I mean, because yeah.
Hey, the so on the bathroom. So have you seen this other bathroom too? That's essentially a glass box, but as soon as you go in and close the door, it. The glass changes to a
the
fog.
Problem is, it's my understanding that you can still see out.
Yeah, you can still see out.
Nobody can see in.
That's right.
Here you are sitting down on the streets of Manhattan, and you're looking at people coming. But, oh, yeah.
No, I think I don't know if this was
it's in
Manhattan.
It's in Korea or someplace.
Yeah. Well, there was one in Paris, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
Europe
the point
somewhere.
Is that you sit down, and
it looks like you hope that
the glass is one way. Because the glass is one way. Because you're looking out, and people are walking by. I mean, you've got... I mean, what I would do, let me tell you.
You'd be pointing and laughing, you know.
If you couldn't even see in, you know that that would be the joke du jour.
You know,
like my French.
Now what we need to invent is the zapper that you can go by, zap that, it changes the, you know.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you can see in.
Well, you know, and they can't see out. It reverses the polarity.
Exactly.
My God.
Can't see out.
That's right.
Well, you know, our poltergeist sent us that.
Something's wrong.
Sent us that eye taser thing. You know, maybe that thing would work on it.
Right. Well, you know, they had a big CES. You know, CES was like 2 weeks ago. I think it was after our show.
What's CES?
Consumer Electronics Show. It was the week before Jobs did
in
the
Orlando.
It was out in Las Vegas. But they were people from Engadget or something like that were walking around, and they had something that would zap the big screens. They got booted out. They got banned for life from going to CES.
But
you'd go to these booths where they had like these huge Panasonic, you know, 100-inch screens, two or three of them, and all of a sudden they go black.
Right.
As they had a little something that would just turn them off or something.
No, it is. In fact, I have a link to that.
Do you?
Yeah, there's a
I want to remember what it is probably by the end of the show, but it was a it was one of those things. It was like a bug me not cable TV turner offer thing. Right. If you're like sitting in some place and it's it sends out a blast of infrared codes on like 300
right.
different frequencies.
Right.
And if you don't like the if it's too noisy or you don't like what's going on, it's a little keychain thing. And you go bloop, and it just blasts off like Sony, Zenith, Toshiba, all the off codes, the IR off codes. And it's like bloop, it just turns the TV right off.
Apparently, it didn't take them too long to figure out who was doing it.
Right.
And they were banned for life.
Banned for life.
Yeah, that was it.
Well,
yeah.
I'll put a link to that one
I was wondering how that did. I didn't realize that's the best way. It makes sense.
Just
it makes
all
sense.
The codes.
Yeah, all of them.
That's exactly right. That's off.
I was wondering how that
works. I did like the iTaser thing that it's got a 1 gigabyte player that's integrated into the gun's holster. That's a little iTaser thing, and I guess you listen to
now
it.
When you say I you're not talking about EYE. You're talking I as an iPod.
iPod.
Yeah. No.
I thought maybe the taser was hitched up to your eyeball.
No, this was at the Consumer Electronics Show. Too.
No, I know that. Don't they come like in pink now too and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You can have designer tasers and with your MP3 player.
Yeah, built in with it.
And
with
just
earphones.
Don't get them confused.
Right. Well, they don't get the ends confused or whatever, probably.
You sit there with 50,000. What a song that is.
I like they say, popular tunes are anything by Frank Zappa.
Well, it'd be like in The Strange Brew, you know? Let's do it. He was trying to get electric.
AC/DC.
Yeah, AC/DC, right. That's it.
Jumping Jack Flash.
Take off, eh?
Yeah, that's right. Take off, you hoser.
You hoser?
King of Pain by the
Beauty,
Police.
Eh?
No, they were trying to get, they were hitching up to the electroshock machine and just couldn't wait to. Remember
Strange
Brew?
Do me, man.
Do me, man.
Yeah.
That was funny.
We got the movie list going.
That's it. That's
so,
right. Strange Brew.
You said the Poltergeist a minute, and I want to mention a serious one the Poltergeist sent in here.
The Poltergeist.
He sent in a clip from, I think it was Colorado, where this family had.
What the hell did you just say there? What state was that?
Yeah, Colorado is what I said. Okay, but I was just playing around.
The SWAT team home invades, takes 11-year-old at gunpoint.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what happened was this guy's got a bunch of kids. One of his 11-year-old falls
He's
down.
He's an ex-Vietnam vet.
And a paramedic.
And a paramedic.
Okay, but.
Right.
And the other thing that's relevant is he's homeschooler, which, boy, they
are right away. Ooh.
They're suspect in the eyes of the.
Yeah. What are you doing in there?
Exactly.
He's a granola freak.
What are you teaching him?
Yeah, what are you teaching him?
And so what happened was
teaching him.
This 11-year-old.
Are you indoctrinating him right or wrong?
So the 11-year-old.
He falls down. He hurts his head. The guy gets him up. He does all the tests, you know, oriented to sight, place, sound, whatever, time.
Now,
sure
was it a neighbor that called 911?
Yes.
Okay.
The neighbor calls 911, says...
Who has been since missing.
Yeah, I wish. So neighbor calls 911, says, kid fell down, paramedics need to come out here. They do, and paramedics look at the kid, and they say, well, he's all right, but we want to bring him into the hospital for some more tests.
Right.
And the guy says, well, no, I don't think so. You know, he's all good. We checked him out, and, you know...
I can't afford it.
Right. Well, the ambulance ride costs a bloody fortune.
Right.
And so he says, no thanks. And so what do? They, of course, mandatorily report this to the child welfare authorities.
They're DCF.
Right.
Department
of
Children and Families, right.
Destroyer of Children and Families, right. And so then DCF goes out there, demands to see the kid with deputies and everything. And they do show him the kid, but they don't give him the kid. Obviously, they say, look, he's fine. They look at the kid. They say, we still want to take the kid into the hospital. So the guy says, no, thank you. No. Okay, well, this guy in the past has obviously made some comments like,
they come for me, they better come with a lot of people or something.
My cold, dead hands
exactly,
remove me right
okay? Exactly.
Never
right.
take me alive.
Exactly. One of those comments, at least, he's been heard saying in the past. So what do? They send in... all the troops. They send the judge.
SWAT team
orders a SWAT team to go get the 11-year-old.
Ruby Ridge.
They bust in there at gunpoint. At one point, they're pointing guns at the rest of his kids. He's got like six kids.
Left. He has like 10 kids, and four of them are not there because they're over 21 and they've moved out.
Right. Yeah.
But the ones that are still there, right?
Got several there.
Two aren't there, I think.
Okay, whatever. Yeah.
Anyway, there are juveniles in the place when the SWAT team busts in.
And literally busts in.
Guns ablazing.
Well, guns drawn.
But they had the door knocker down thing.
And they knocked down the door.
It's a technical term for it.
They pointed the guns at his other kids in order to take his one kid to the hospital, where the doctor said, "Nah, he's fine." Which, of course, is irrelevant to the story. It wouldn't matter whether if he died right there on the spot, as far as I'm concerned.
Heart attack.
But they send him back home, and that's the end of the story so far. But, of course, I'm sure you recognize the point, which is if you refuse medical treatment for your child these days in a state which has an aggressive child welfare policy like this one, they will come for you. And I will tell you this. I've defended people in this state whose
Florida.
Only charge was they took their kid off the medication that the doctor prescribed.
Right.
That is to say, this kid was all doped up and everybody knew it. And the father took the child off of the medication. Even the judge has commented that the child was all doped up before and is now clear and everything. Still, that's grounds for them to butt into your life and do whatever
and
they want.
And take your child.
Take your child.
And arrest you.
Right.
And arrest you.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, no.
Now, this guy didn't get arrested. My guy didn't get arrested.
No, right.
But I mean, they could.
They could, right.
Well, we're talking about Venezuela, right?
No, yeah.
Oh, no?
No. This is local stuff. And let me tell you, it is.
Sounds
these guys have
like
got
the same
a lot of power. You think about the money DC, you know, to see DCF here has just gotten some new awards for stuff, in spite of the fact that the reports come out almost, I would say, realistically, about every 2 months, there's some horrible wrongdoing that
they've
done.
The problem is the other reports keep coming out that, like, they lost this kid or
right.
that kid.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Or some kid dies.
Dies.
And so they didn't have enough funds, for, you know, to do this.
Right.
And they keep clamoring for more power because of the plight of the kids.
Right.
When
it's
really,
all about the children.
Well, I mean, they're just causing far more harm.
That's it. The point is that their reports, you don't have to read even between the lines to realize that they're causing a lot of these problems.
Yeah.
And yet they're looking at it as in reverse, that
right.
the problem was already there. I'm thinking, no, you know, you obviously, and it's just the freedom goes away. So, you know, pack your suitcases, take empty suitcases to
take your empty suitcases.
Bring empty suitcases back from wherever you're headed, at a, you know, that kind of thing. That's scary. That was scary to think that that they would come in and of course, again, if you're a...
and if you're joining us, we are talking about America here.
Right. If you're, you know, the nail that sticks up a little bit, you get pounded down kind of
well,
thing.
That's Japanese mother.
And was this in
Is
Florida?
Is that right?
Wait,
yeah.
Was this
oh,
in
right.
Florida? I'm sorry. Was you?
No, that was in Colorado.
Colorado was the SWAT team thing,
yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm telling you it's happening.
Well, we've had
in
it here, of course, with Alien Gonzalez.
Right,
of course,
Alien Gonzalez.
That was the SWAT team.
Yeah, the entire freaking SWAT team comes
cover,
in there
cover time
for this custody
magazine.
Battle.
Right.
I mean, Jan Arena
doesn't have a real good track record in that department.
And
either.
I don't, man, I'm telling you. I'm
killing kids in Waco High. I take responsibility. I love it. Well, I take full responsibility. Okay, bitch.
Well.
Tell us what you really think, Jan.
Yeah, that's right. No, she's the worst, I'm telling you, to think that she's still on.
Something else that happened this recently, I'll just chime in here because I got it going, is I'm filming this movie up here. Counselor Curtis is also, I play a counselor on TV also.
Ooh.
And but I'm filming this movie here in the town here, and we've got fake guns for our movie. We've got these wooden cutouts. They look pretty
props.
Good.
Props.
Yeah, they're props. Props, exactly. Well, we're filming in a building that is the former courthouse here in this county.
Right, and it is not a courthouse now.
No.
It is for the tax assessor or something.
It does
a county building.
Yes. And it does contain some court records or something like that.
Right, it does.
But, nevertheless...
It's a weapons-free zone.
Correct. And when we filmed our movie this weekend, we literally had to check our prop guns.
Can you imagine?
Did they look like real guns?
Yeah, they looked
but
like
there
real
was,
guns.
There was a story about this. Didn't I send you the email?
Yes, you sent us... Jimmy, you sent us a link about a bunch of guys... who had to register their, quote, weapons. It was an acting troupe that had guns that, like, where the flag came out the front and
said
bang.
Bang, right. They had to register all that. That's right. That's right.
Right.
And I remember that.
Where did they have to register that?
With the local police.
So they had to register two plastic cutlasses, a pistol that produces a flag with the word bang on it, and six wooden swords of the police. You know?
This is not a laughing matter.
I'm telling you, if this was 1979 or whatever, we would have had to probably report those Jawa guns we made.
Oh, oh my God. Those actually fired.
Do you remember that? Oh, I'd forgotten all about
those. Those were rocket launchers.
For our fans that haven't heard us talk about this before.
When you guys were kids, that was so great.
Right. We, one of our Halloween costume, all everybody in this room, in fact, and Jimmy, of course, was the one of the catalysts here. We were all dressed up as Jawas. So we had electrical
lights. This was like right
lights.
After the movie came out. This was like this was like the Halloween, the 77 Halloween, right?
Right. So and
those were great costumes.
So we had lights for eyes, and then we had these guns. We made wooden guns with a coffee can on the end that actually we had, of course, rigged up to shoot bottle rockets.
Well, duh.
With lighters duct taped on the handle to light the fuse.
And I mean, it certainly.
It was a fully operational
rocket launcher.
Right. What was it? RPG?
Rocket
grenade. Yeah, that was it.
No, that was, and you know, there's no question. No, and let me tell you, and you were in costume. Can you imagine what would happen if you'd walked into a 7-Eleven?
Oh, man, great.
They'd have shot you.
No, listen, today we'd all be suspended from school.
Oh, absolutely.
At the very least.
For what we did on Halloween night.
Absolutely. I mean, so we'd be filling out the form, yes, a Jawa. What make is your firearm? It's a Jawa gun.
That's true.
Right. Now, I made it. Yeah, it's a 3/4-inch plywood. Yeah, that's a full.
Sanborn Chase coffee can. That is not a Maxwell House.
Right.
Right. That is a
Folgers. No,
not Folgers.
Not good to the last cup.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
oh my God. No, you're right. I mean, that stuff would be like so. The stuff that we did is just general. So I wonder about potato guns.
Definitely.
Jail time!
All over the internet. That'd be fun.
They probably also violate some kind of global warming rule with the CFC release.
You go back to, on our movie run, you go back to Red Dawn. I mean, you know, that's starting to look a little more.
Well, I used to say, I'm not laughing when you talk about having to register,
like
when you have to register wooden sabers. They've gone over the top. I mean, they have way too much time on their hands.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, plastic sabers, man.
Plastic, yeah. No.
Who was in that? I mean, several of them.
That was Patrick Swayze.
That was one of them, right?
Well,
but
and
then there was three or four others.
Yeah, there was three or four others. And I forget who the pilot was, but he's kind of semi-famous, too.
It was the pony boy guy, too. Whatever.
Okay, the last thing I have here is, which
last
will help. Yeah, on my list.
Wow, okay.
Researchers create new rat heart in lab. Did you see that?
Thomas Howell.
Medicine's dream of growing new human parts and other organs to repair or replace damaged ones received a significant boost Sunday. In the University of Minnesota, researchers reported success in creating a beating rat heart in a laboratory.
Whoa.
Experts not involved in Minnesota work called a landmark achievement and stunning advance. But they said Minnesota's research cautioned that the dream, if it's ever realized, is at least 10 years away. Dr. Doris A. Taylor, head of the team that created the rat heart, said that she followed the guiding principle of the laboratory.
There went the rat.
Give nature the tools and get out of the way. I mean, what they've done, I mean, literally, this is mind-boggling. I forget exactly how they did it, but it was like a dead bunch of cells, skin, whatever, totally dead. And they injected it. They had it in lightning. Come on, and it was alive. And so they got a beating heart.
Man, we should have played the other Jimmy Dolan.
It's alive. Yeah.
They said it's at least 10 years away.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Sorry.
So they said it's 10 years away. I don't believe it. I think that given. The market, boy, this could be
rat
pretty
hearts?
Quick. Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying something a little larger than that.
Yeah.
Human, you know, heart.
Human.
Cool.
Well,
I mean, and once they get there,
it'll be 10 years. It'll be 10 years until the FDA approves it in this country.
Well, again, that's one of the reasons why if we could like take over the Bahamas or something and just have it a totally libertarian place, we could be offshore. Of course, they'd be surrounded by gunboats in no time. I'm sure they'd invade us like Reagan invaded Grenada.
They just put a Bible on a half a square millimeter silicon surface covered with a thin layer of gold. 1,514 pages.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the implants for all of the inmates.
And you get in the Bible, too.
Yeah. You bend over.
That is funny, because that reminds me, I went to the junkyard the other day and picked
funny.
up at the junkyard a fully functional Macintosh computer.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a fully functional Bible.
No, a fully functional Macintosh computer, and in it, I didn't realize this, but in it, when you turn it on, built into ROM, it doesn't even need a disk. The entire operating system is, that's how far they came in just like 2 or 3 years, from having to use a little dorpy floppy disk to just turning it on, and the entire operating system was built into the...
Did it come with some good 80s porn on it? Or?
No, actually, this is...
No,
the reason I picked it up was I figured, you know, Jimmy could make some money on eBay, so I quickly went on to eBay to sell this thing, and I found out you can't give them away because they're too heavy.
And how much did you pay?
Zero.
Yeah, it was free.
Good. Well, you got the right price, at least.
Yeah, except unfortunately, it takes up space here in the house in Jimmy's Museum du Macintosh.
Well, it becomes part of Jimmy Junk, and now you'll share that with our fans. Just email
well,
us.
Well, the thing that worries me is when I did, that my offspring may decide to trash it rather than realize the true value of this stuff.
Have you guys noticed
the true value of the junk?
Emails are getting more and more lately. I just want a big shout out to the fans out there. Keep those emails coming, because I've noticed we've been getting a lot more. You guys have been forwarding a lot.
Yes, thank you. Bart from UCLA, I needed a thing.
Yep, and that's pretty cool. Bart, of course, I loved it. He sent us an email, and he included the Playboy Cyber Girl of the Month in it just to make sure we passed it around.
He's no fool. I'll tell you, he's no fool.
No
it's
fool
like,
he.
It's like, I'd like you to read this book, and oh, by the way, there's a packet of cocaine.
Okay.
And a rolled up 100.
I'll stay up all night and read it.
Actually,
that's right.
That was amazing. I did get a present, a late Christmas present from Chris,
that you can't talk about on the Jimmy Don't
Show. No, it was he got me an autographed book from Nick Mason, the drummer for Pink Floyd, and it's his new book, and we were just joking. I said, I wonder which page is actually a sheet of bladder acid.
If you lick them all.
If you lick them all, you'll find it.
But page 23.
I did want to give it, again, we got a nice thank you from Dave Bibby, the cool guy who's running for office down in Williston, Florida.
As a matter of fact, that's 6 days.
Any of Williston listeners out there, vote for Dave Bibby. He's a neat guy.
He's a libertarian type guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we put a link to his, does he have a website?
I can put a link to his email.
You know what's interesting? You can Google. I mean, when we think about half the people that come to Jimmy Doan, Google us, and we come up, of course, first on so many different ways. It's unbelievable. But Dave Bibby, I'm sure if you do that, it would pop up.
Bibby.
Doesn't matter.
I'd written a letter to the library board here in town.
You made the news.
Yes, I did. Jimmy was actually in the paper. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Because he.
They love you.
Not much. No, the director of the library here. Jimmy wrote a letter that said the library has outlived its usefulness. Here's $20 million is what we spent.
Wait a second,
here.
they just built that freaking library.
I understand that, and they still owe $10 million on all the
ginormous
Taj Mahal, right. Whatever. Yeah, no question. So anyway, they spend $20 million is the budget, and they have
per year, right?
And they're so happy because they have 1.2 million visitors, mm-hmm. which equates, which they didn't bother to tell you, to $15 for everybody
visit.
That walks through the library turnstile.
Right.
A little pricey.
Right. But half of them are actually homeless just using the bathroom.
No, they are. No, don't laugh. At the library, we call it St. Francis.
$15 pee there.
Exactly.
Nothing on New
and
York.
And I'm paying for it.
Right.
14-gallon flush.
A 14-gallon flush. And, you know, they go in and get a couple of drinks of water and march back out. But seriously, we call it St. Francis North because the homeless shelter
is about eight
blocks south of the library.
Mm-hmm.
And they kick them all out of the homeless shelter at 8 o'clock in the morning. You can't come back till 5 o'clock at night.
That's their exercise walk. They walk to the library.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly right.
And that big courtyard area there. That's right.
So that no doubt accounts for some of it. And I have no doubt also... what I thought was interesting, I wrote a letter to all of the board members, and I said, you know, it's an anachronism. It's $15 a thing, and nobody does any serious research anymore, and the stacks give me a break. Everybody does Google. I mean, that's the way it does. And recreational reading, I mean, you can go to Books a Million or Barnes & Noble, and they let you sit there and have coffee. You can read it. You can read the stuff all day long, have a good time. So I said, you know what? Here's $20 million. You can give on my tax bill. It's 5% roughly of the taxes. I said you can chap that baby off, and the employees, 150 of them, 175 of them, right. can have a year to get a new job. And here,
sell the buildings, and you could take the money.
Not only would you pay off the buildings and improve your bond rating here locally, but if you made a profit, which you should, of course, if anybody's complaining, well, the poor people and the children don't have access to the internet, well. Have them fill out a piece of paper, and with the profits, you can buy them a $600 laptop, And
screw the.
And so anyway, I wrote them. It's interesting. So I laid out this with the mathematical precision of a Pythagorean theorem proof on why they should eliminate the eliminate the library. And what happens? About a week
you
after,
pissed them off.
Well, let me tell you exactly what happened. 8 days to the day after I sent the letter out to all the board members,
the cops showed up.
Front page article, Gainesville Sun. The library is still relevant. That was the headline. And it was a puff piece that had absolutely, I'm telling you, it made Larry King questionnaires look like somebody from Guantanamo.
Look,
made him look like a waterboarder. I mean, this was a puff piece from heaven for the library. And on that exact same day, I get a real nice letter from the director of the library extolling the virtues of the library. He says, well, you may not visit it, but it's, you know, good for the community. And I'm thinking, yeah, but it's $15. I mean, for everybody that walks through there. I mean, at what price, at what point do you decide that it's too much money?
That it's bad for the community.
Well, I mean,
because it sucks it dry.
Well, I mean, there's $20 million that could be, you know.
$20 million a year.
Yeah, $20 million a year.
That's huge. That sounds huge. The budget of Alachua County
is around $200 million. My point is, on my tax bill alone, it's 5.1%. It's broken out separately. The library has its own.
5% of yours?
It's 5.1% of my tax bill, my one here. Now, on commercial property, it might be something else. I don't know, but it's more. My point is, you could offer a 5.1% tax reduction on property taxes to 70,000 property owners in Alachua County, and the cost would be 176 jobs, although they can find new ones because the unemployment rate here is zero, essentially, for all intents and purposes. And at no loss of essentials, you know, they always complain, well, we're going to have to, the police will shut down, the fire will shut down, and y'all will die. You know, like, you know, it'll be like New York with, what's his name, Pliskin. And, of course, the thing is that I'm saying, well, the library, obviously the library can't be an essential service. They closed on Martin Luther King Day. They're closed on Sundays and on, I don't know about Sundays, but they're closed on all the holidays. So how essential can it be? I mean, the police is still open on those essential days. And the fire department, if you have a fire, they'll show up. But you can't go to the library. So how essential is it? Mm-hmm. It's not.
Not.
So anyway, so I laid that out. And we'll see what happens. Jimmy will keep you posted. What I mean is that I know what the answer is.
Jimmy's not making
from the library. From the library director, he's gonna, obviously, he makes $150,000 a year or whatever it is. I mean, he's going to fight tooth and nail for this thing. But the answer is, but it's the library.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
right.
The answer. Well, but you see, it's no good. But it's outlived its usefulness. It's an anachronism. You know, it's something that we can do without. But
we have other libraries here in town.
Well, not only
too.
That, I didn't say anything about the public school libraries,
right,
or the university libraries, which are
expensive.
I mean, we have a huge medical complex,
right,
and a huge engineering
complex. 3.6 million volume library.
No, we've got like 9 libraries on the university campus. Some of them are very specialized and so forth. And I mean, let's face it, if you want to do research like on, you know, I don't know, Dick Nixon, you're not going to find that here. You go to California to the Dick Nixon library.
Let me tell you something. There are so many books in this library. You can, I mean, you find 12 versions of the same book. I mean, oh, here's one we got in hardback, and here we got it in softback.
And on CDs, and
right,
on DVDs, and who knows what all.
And here's one starring Jenna Jameson.
And don't
I'm
we
telling
wish.
You look up the Bible, there's like a whole wall of Bibles. Well, they got the King James Version, King James Version 2.
The third pressing of the Gutenberg.
The Old Testament and the really Old Testament.
And here's the actual tablets that Moses brought.
That's right.
I'm telling you, they got so many books there. And those are just the ones that they let us peon public people have access to.
Right.
You know? I mean,
if you happen to know, actually, and I've done this before, if you happen to know that they got some book in there, they will actually bring it out to you.
Yeah,
you can't go back and get it.
Right.
But you can tell them, I want this, and they'll bring it out to you. And then they'll stand there while you use it, and then they'll take it back.
Hey, Mr. Librarian, you're looking sexy today. I need a book, huh?
So anyway, the point is that I was saying that there's $19.1 million, whatever it is, $15 per visit, that we could save that money. And boy, I'll tell you, I expect to hear, Jimmy will keep you posted on this one, but I mean,
you hate the children, Jimmy!
I expect to hear every argument known to mankind, because they're not going to take it on. And it's a slam dunk. The way I look at it, here we are getting ready to have an election here locally. And if you guys, they talk about we want to have a more efficient government, and I want to protect the community and protect the neighborhoods, and I want to do something for all the people in the, okay, well, here's something you can do right now. Here's a concrete item. I've laid out exactly how to do it. You know, before you talk about the big plan, why don't you do this little small thing that, you know, just to prove you can do it? Trust me, nothing will happen.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like a banner thing, the library, you know.
I understand it is, but it's still at what cost? I mean, what was it? What if it was $1,500? Oh, not only that. Interestingly enough, I happen to read the financial statement, just went through it. Jimmy has no life. So he read all 108 pages of this thing and found that the certified, guaranteed, audited statement had at least one number in it that was off by a factor of 1,000.
What was that?
Well, it said the indebtedness per capita of the library, this was the bonds and all that stuff, was $47,000. They had obviously done the spreadsheet and everything.
Right.
It's $47.
Oh, $47.
Yeah, I mean, so it was an advantage. But my point is, this is the big accounting firm here in town.
Right.
We make no mistakes. Certified, you know, bang, you know, got a big red seal with the wax emblazoned on it.
Cold busted.
I mean, nobody caught it. I'm saying, and of course, it leapt out at me. I'm saying, $47,000. I mean, even the national.
That's like if you were to say that a toilet used 14 gallons to
flush. Yeah, I mean, nobody believed you.
I mean, of course, ain't nobody believed
you. No. That's what you. No, you mean 1.4 gallons. Yeah.
did you send it to anybody yet? Or
I haven't sent. I'm holding that as my ace card.
Ace in the hole. Yeah. You guys got your numbers straight. I just found look at this. What else could be possibly wrong? And they're all scrambling around, you know.
Exactly. That's right.
Confusion technique.
And the Bandler confusion technique. No, well, the nice thing is that I doubt if anybody on our commission is going to bother listening to Jimmy Doan's show, so they won't be on alert.
Right. Well, did you guys want to take a break?
Yes.
Did you want to mention anything about the when we come back, maybe the Save Our Homes thing? Or
yes. Oh, good point. I went down and talked to him about that. That's what it's in the paper for.
I
was the only one. We'll talk about it when we come back.
All right.
Hey, this is Engineer Eric. That was part two of our January 23rd podcast. If you need part three, you can go to jimmydoan.com or your favorite podcast directory.